Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It is the final show of the year. The final Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford of 2014. We've got a very special show for you here today, as in the Dog Bowl for the full 2 hours. It will be myself, Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and the happiest man who doesn't live in Ann Arbor, John Schaefer, a.k.a. The Kid, with us for the whole show here today. So we got a lot we're going to talk about. We want to talk to you, too. 216-578-0850, whatever's on your mind, let us know. And kind of what I was thinking here, since it's the end of the year, we're going to go through kind of a lot of the best ofs of the season, your favorite play of the season, your favorite moment of the season, your favorite player of the season, your favorite draft pick, your favorite free agent acquisition. We'll go through everything as it relates to the Browns, your favorites of the year, as we look back here on the season. We can even do some of the least favorites if people want to get onto the negative side
of things.
There's
a lot of those.
We can get into those as well. So we'll just kind of reflect on the year that was. You can tell us all your favorite Browns memories from this season as well. Again, favorite player, favorite play, favorite moment, favorite game, all of that stuff. We can talk about that. And we'll do that over the course of the next 2 hours here. We're also going to hear the exit interview sound from the following players: The Crow, Isaiah Crowell, John Greco, Joe Hayden, quarterbacks Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel, Joe Thomas, and Paul Kruger. So we have lots of sound to play for you. A lot of that. We're also going to go through our wild card weekend playoff predictions. We are going to go through our bowl season predictions before next Monday, all the games that will transpire before next Monday. So lots to get to. And gentlemen, I just want to say it is great to be with the two of you here today.
You got it, man. It's great to work on New Year's Eve. And again, I'm reluctant.
Is it?
So. But I'm reluctant to be working on New Year's Day, because I will be on tomorrow on ESPN 850 WKNR doing the Buckeye pregame show from 5 to 7. Extended edition, 2 hours of myself and Greg Brenda talking everything Buckeyes versus the Crimson Tide.
Nice. That's very good. Very good there. The Kid, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing well. I do have to bring it to everybody's attention. The fact that you're not going to be there really is a strike against you. I mean, a Buckeye legend as yourself, don't you think you could have been inspiring the troops?
No, not at all. And I say that because of the change in regime. It's not the same. And I know Nathan and I have talked about it in depth. You know, Urban is a great coach. He's doing great things at Ohio State. But he's not as welcoming to the Tresslites, I guess you could call us, and our success under Jim Tressel. We are welcome in the building, but it's not as nurturing environment as you would have thought. But I will say this. Moving forward, I am already, you know, looking into flights for Texas to know exactly what it's going to cost me to get down there and enjoy an opportunity to win another national championship at Ohio State.
The Kid, do you find it interesting that Matt Wilhelm, a Buckeye legend as he is having, you know, he's not getting the warm reception? And I was told that Jim Harbaugh's people have already reached out to you, a Michigan man, to be a part of this program and to get back there and be on the sidelines for the very first Michigan game of the Harbaugh era.
Well, I know you say that in jest, but in all kidding aside, there's no reason that a national champion, star linebacker, captain of the squad is not invited on the sidelines and to speak to the linebackers before the game.
You're right. But there's so many of us, and that's what's hard. And I've gotten texts. I got texts today from guys that are, you know, are you going to be in New Orleans? And I just, you know, and again, because I said no, and because I wanted to be here with you guys.
There's only one that you guys do have a strong program, but there's been one national championship team in the last, 30 years?
36.
Yeah, so there's not that many of you.
No, there's not.
And some of your brethren are still playing on Sundays.
Yes, but also, too, it's the, you know, Herb Street will probably be on the sideline. Eddie George, Troy Smith. So there'll be probably 20-plus guys on the sideline.
And all due respect to Herbie. He's great on TV. But from an Ohio State playing standpoint, Matt Wilhelm, Kirk Herbstreit, no contest.
Well, I appreciate that. And I guess at this point, I'm just getting started in the media, and we hope in fast forward a decade, and hopefully I'm on the same level as Kirk Herbstreit there as well.
We certainly all would love that, right? Absolutely. 216-578-0850, the way to get on board on the show here today. And let's just kind of start with the overall thoughts. And as the offseason progresses, we'll get into like going through position by position, a look at the final 53 and really give our reviews. But overall, the kids, since you haven't gotten to be in here yet, you know, talking about this, you got to hear from Mike Pettine this week. We heard from Ray Farmer this week. What is your take on this Browns season and how ultimately you view this year where you went 7-9, which is better than 4-12, were 7-4 at one point. You added a lot of pieces. Where do you see the Browns and where they are? Was this a positive season in your mind?
Yes and no. Yes, if you take a step back and you look at it, the beginning of the year, if people would have said 7 wins, a lot of people would have been real happy with it. I myself was calling for 9 right out of the gate, but realistically, 7 wins is a big improvement. Not only that, but we have some foundation blocks for the future that we drafted this year. Everybody wants to kill the draft, and this is what I'll say about the draft. From the second round on, it was one of the greatest drafts in NFL history. In the first round, it was one of the worst drafts in NFL history.
So you're ready. You're ready to make that statement. You think, where are you on Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert? Because I know you have a lot of thoughts on that.
Well, Justin Gilbert was an out-and-out disaster from day one. Johnny, as dumb as he was and as many dumb things as he did, you still have to say the jury is not out. He did not get enough time. You have to look at him and see what he can do with the full off, another full offseason and then some real playing time. With Gilbert, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me most corners that come in that are highly touted can play right away or they can't. I mean, if you look at the guy from LSU that went to Dallas and struggled.
Mo Claiborne.
And he's struggled his whole career. Then you got guys like Patrick Peterson or Fuller in Chicago or even the Ohio State guy that went to San Francisco.
Or you had Roby. Roby in Denver.
Or Denver. I'm sorry. Those guys came in and can produce right away. Gilbert scares the heck out of me. I mean, to me, he might be just an out-and-out bust.
What do you think about Johnny and the kind of the antics that it continue, it seems, to go on? Do you think at some point he needs to decide whether he wants to be Johnny Football, Johnny Party, or he wants to be a quarterback in the National Football League?
Well, he needs to decide. I think that he's on a one-mistake basis. If he does one more dumb thing, he's gone. And I love him. You know, everybody that's listening knows I was as fired up for him as anyone, but enough is enough. Quit saying the right things like Ray Farmer said the other day. Quit talking and just do it. And
right.
If he does one more dumb thing, and I don't care if it's the offseason, I don't care if it's anything, he should give himself a punishment for the offseason. He's not allowed to go to Vegas. He's not allowed to go anywhere. Just if he wants to get drunk in his own house where nobody could see him. If he wants to party behind closed doors, he cannot be seen out in public doing anything that resembles acting stupid.
But, kid, the one thing I talked about when it comes to him, because I've never been held in such a high esteem socially as Johnny Football, but I think he needs the proper support system around him.
I actually checked with some people
in
San Diego.
Get out of here,
and
dude.
They say a young Matt Wilhelm was a terror, ladies and gentlemen. If you had a pool party, hide your women.
And he is blushing right now, folks.
Stop.
He's not red like a Buckeyes jersey.
Not through the beard. But, I mean, don't you think that he needs the proper support system around him? Because whatever he's got right now, those friends from Texas or his family or, again, his celebrity friends are just simply feeding into that frenzy that is Johnny Football and not Johnny Manziel, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And let me ask you a question from an insider's perspective. Is it possible that somebody like the Browns would hire somebody to basically babysit him, or
no,
is that not realistic?
That's not realistic. And I think, as I said to Nathan, and we talked about this, you know, the last few weeks, it's got to be Johnny being proactive to reach out to someone. That's a quarterback coach or a former player, or even in this case, with Drew Brees and the Saints not making it the playoffs. And I know Johnny spending time in California at some point, you know, reaching out and saying, "Hey, dude, I'm lost. But I want to be great, or I want to be competitive, or I want to grow. You know, can I?" And like the same way that I would want to, you know, reference Kirk Herbstreit, I would want to walk in his shoes for a few days to see, you know, what he does, the professionalism that he walks with, how he, you know, just spend time with him and how you got from, again, a no ability quarterback at Ohio State to the guy on College Game Day making multiple millions of dollars, having the world by the you know what. And do that with someone who's been there and done that, and just you hope that a little bit rubs off on Johnny, because Johnny's always going to be Johnny, and he brings that back and applies it to his profession moving forward.
I think he's got a great role model right here. It's not somebody who has done it and succeeded at the NFL level, but I think Connor Shaw, if Johnny just conducted himself as though he were Connor Shaw, I think he would have been fine this year. But talent-wise, there's the disparity. But just in terms of the way you approach being a professional in your preparation, Connor Shaw looked more prepared, more calm, and more comfortable in one game, even though he'd been on the practice squad all year, than Johnny. I do think he needs to get with a guy. You should introduce him to Aaron Rodgers. I think that would be get Aaron Rodgers, get Johnny together, and see what happens. Because I do think, you know, you're right. He's got to get somebody who wants to mentor him. The truth of the matter is, the only person who can help Johnny, we've said it before, is Johnny. And I know we don't want to hear him talk, but let's pull up Johnny Manziel's final interview of 2014 as a Cleveland Brown on his way out.
Give your version of what happened Friday night and then Saturday.
Yeah, I made a decision to go out on Friday night, and that was really that, you know. You know, it's unfortunate that it was reported the way it was. You know, I woke up extremely upset Saturday morning. You know, felt bad that I let my team down. Obviously, you know, wasn't part of the game plan last week, anything like that. But at the same time, you know, I still need to be accountable to my teammates and, you know, be here and supporting those guys. So, you know, I was disappointed in myself in that. And then for it to be reported that, you know, I threw a party and I was responsible for another individual on this team getting in trouble, which... it's 100% false. You know, it sucks that I feel like because of the perception that I base around myself and, you know, I've done this to myself that, you know, that was allowed to be reported and people were allowed to just nod their head and act like that, you know, went on. When in fact, it was completely untrue and, you know, sucked to get up and have that perception on Sunday morning, you know, feeling as bad as I did already about what happened.
Did you throw a party?
No, absolutely not. You know, I had people in town that were staying with me this week. I mean, if three people from Kerrville, Texas are enough to warrant a party, then, you know, we might be. We're from Kerrville. So, but, you know, that's just absolutely ridiculous. I was irate about that yesterday. And, you know, it's really shameful that, you know, that they did report that in that way. And, you know, it was tied directly in with Josh as well.
So was Josh Gordon with you?
You know, I'm not Josh Gordon. I was with Josh Gordon at a point throughout that day, earlier in the day. But at nighttime, no, I was not with Josh. I don't know where Josh's whereabouts were. That's probably something you should ask him.
Hey, Johnny, how are you going to fight this perception? I mean, is this ever going to go away, do you think? What can you do to change it?
Well, there's nothing I can sit here and tell you. There's nothing I can sit here and talk to these mics or into these cameras or anything, and it's going to do any good. You know, it's about action. It's about, you know, being accountable and doing what I'm going to say instead of looking like a jackass.
Does that change the fact that were you here on time for treatment like you're supposed to?
No.
Why not? You said you're going to take things more seriously on Tuesday. What changed between Tuesday and Friday?
You know, it wasn't. You know, it was just let my guard down a little bit. I think that's exactly what it was. You know, a mistake by me. And, you know, if I'm going to continue to not learn from some of these things. Because when I sat here and talked to you guys, you know, last Tuesday, you know, there's not a bit of doubt that goes into my mind that I'm completely serious about everything that I'm talking about moving forward. And, you know, but at the same time, you can sit here and say and talk and say this all you want, but when your actions don't reflect that and you make a conscious decision to put yourself in the position that, you know, you stay out too late and not wake up the next morning, you know, that's going to cause a lot of trouble. So, you know, I did that to myself. I brought this on myself. You know, I brought these cameras and all these people that are in this locker room right now, and, you know, I don't think it's fair to myself. I don't think it's fair to anybody in this locker room. The distractions that, you know, I've brought at point in times. So, you know, I'm sorry to these guys who are veterans in this locker room and knows what it takes that, you know, I'm having to learn the hard way. And at the same time, I'm either going to learn or I'm going to be finding something else to do.
Yeah, so just to clarify, what's the mistake? Would you define what the mistake is?
I wasn't here. I wasn't here for a walkthrough.
Do you see yourself quarterbacking this team next year?
You know, I think Coach Pettine obviously said that, you know, I'm going to get an opportunity to compete. You know, that's what I want. You know, this offseason is very critical for me. It's really that.
Did you oversleep Saturday morning?
Yes.
Why should the team have faith in you, Johnny?
You know, I think I've been a work in progress throughout this year. It's been, you know, it's been a lot of ups and downs for me. There's been some good things that have come. There's been some bad things as well. But I'm still an extremely competitive person. I know what I want to do with my career. I know what I want to do in my life, and I know, you know, what's important to me. And now it's time to, you know, look myself in the mirror and really hold myself accountable and start making, you know, some deals with myself and really look in the mirror and you know, these problems and things that I'm doing in my life that are occurring every now and then, these just bumps that you know, things in the past have just kind of caught up to me. And just the way that I did things in the past, I need to start doing every single thing the right way and in everything. And if I don't do that, I'm going to be exposed.
Were you tweeting during the game?
No, I was not tweeting during the game. I was on my phone, and it was an accident. So
talk about your teammates. What about the fans? Anything for them?
Yeah, no, I don't think I've been fair to them as well either. You know, I didn't come out and perform this year, and that's what it comes down to. You know, it was a difficult situation for me, a different situation than I had been in the past. You know, I'm upset in the way that I handled it at point in times. You know, I think, you know, I did grow up and then I took a step back. So it's the same story with me as let's take one step forward, but then we're taking two steps back. So now it's really in my court. You know, it's what do I want to do and what do I want to be known as? You know, do I want to be known as a guy who, you know, was in this league for 2 years and is doing something else with his life? Or do I want to come in here and compete and, you know, give this thing a fair chance and work my ass off to try and be the quarterback I know I can be and be the person and player that I know I am? Now it's just, am I going to put the time in? Am I going to do what I need to do to be successful? And that's what it comes down to.
Johnny Manziel, as we said, he can say the right things. Although, again, there was one comment in there that stood out to me. Well, three guys from Kerrville, if you guess you could call that, we are from Kerrville. Like, we can party. Like, don't make little jokes like that.
That isn't even to me saying the right things. If you listen to the tone of what he's saying, he still just doesn't get it.
Yep.
And it just, it's very frustrating.
It's hot air.
Yeah, it really is. I think that I would really, and I'm sure Mr. Haslam sat him down and told him you're on double seeker probation, but I would really be watching this first sign of anything. I dump him.
He already was down in Miami on, was it?
Bronny!
Yeah,
happy birthday!
Happy birthday thing to LeBron.
You know what? I dump him. I would just take whatever you can get and dump
him. Him and his cape?
Him and his cape.
And you it's love him.
I love him, and I love Josh Gordon, but I think, and Matt can speak to this more than I can, you're ruining the fabric of the locker room if you keep catering to these guys when you got guys like Joe Hayden playing through an injury in a game that doesn't mean anything. You got Joe Thomas who hasn't missed a game in 8 years. You've got all these guys busting their chops, and you got these two yahoos or these three yahoos. You know,
I mean, is that not couldn't they send the ultimate message?
Yes,
that we will sacrifice a number one draft pick and I think from a Jimmy Haslam standpoint, the amount of dollars that Johnny Manziel has brought thus far to Cleveland and, you know, and his brand, the Browns, that they will throw him aside because they want a winning culture and that Browns mentality in this building, and no one is bigger than the team, and no one is definitely bigger than this organization.
Yeah, and I think it would be.
I agree with that. I just think you have to be, at the same time, organizationally smart, because otherwise you're eating $20 million of dead money between the two of them for no reason. You might as well at least try to see if they can. They are young. See if they can rehabilitate themselves this offseason. Flash Gordon at this point, I think you get what you can get from him. You don't cut him. It makes no sense to cut him.
No.
But you get what you can get for him.
Yeah, I guess I would say with Gilbert, even though he was, in my opinion, worse on the field than any of them, I think I would try to rehabilitate him because his measurables are such that they are off the chart. And Johnny's, let's be honest, I love Johnny and all that, but it's not like his speed is off the charts. It's not like his arm strength is off the charts. I would probably try to work Gilbert and rehabilitate him and hope that he could be a starting corner moving forward.
That certainly will be something we will look at. We're going to continue our show when we come back. 216-578-0850 if you would like to call in. Otherwise, we're going to get going. We've got wild card weekend predictions. We've got bowl game predictions. We've got the best of the season, plus more sound from the players of the Cleveland Browns. But there's another guy who, you know, had some off-the-field issues, and here's Terrence West. Finished season strong, good game against Baltimore, but here's what he just tweeted out 53 minutes ago. I'm going to be the same person in 2015. Ain't nothing going to change with me. I've been the same person 23 years. My New Year's resolution is to stay 100% me. I'd like to see some growth from these young fellas.
Me too.
That's what I'd like to see. A desire, something that says, listen, I know I like who I am. That's fine. I'm glad you love who you are. But let's try to improve. We can all improve on ourselves in 2015. And I think these young guys here on the Browns need to kind of get that message. And you've got great leadership in the locker room, great leadership up top. But ultimately, grown men are the only people who can help grown men, and hopefully they do that. All right, when we come back, more Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford.